Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if I pose the question today, and you were seriously to evaluate your Christianity and answer the question, are you a roller coaster in your Christianity? Are you up and down, and can't figure out why? I can give you a possible answer to that question. The reason is most likely you have a powerless view of God. It's like Luther once said to Erasmus, your God lives in a beetle's hole. He can't do anything to help you. Your view is so powerless of him, you have confined him to your powerless view. And that is not the way scriptures present him when it comes to salvation. We're up and down ultimately because we believe salvation rests in our own power. And can you imagine living that? I can't imagine living that kind of life where I go, I think I'm strong today because I'm doing pretty well, stumble in sin, and then think I've lost it all. I'm condemned. That is a real struggle, isn't it? The way to fix that is to understand the way to move you forward in actual sanctification where there's power to change so that you get up in confidence and that you put to death the sins in the body is to understand and grow in the knowledge of the Savior's saving work. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing for his disciples here in John chapter 17. He wants them to understand and relish and live in the grace that he's lavished upon them by his person and work. This is huge. They are going to fall hard. They don't even know that. They don't even understand that. Jesus has been telling them that. But they're going to go out and they are going to abandon him in the moment of the cross. What an awful sin, leaving and walking away from the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do with people in the church today who walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Awful sin, isn't it? And if you are sensitive to your hearts today, if you're in the middle of some great sin and you're distressed over that, and you understand, oh, you understand what you're capable of, what you've done in the past, you live in fear of what you could do tomorrow because of your sin, what would it be like for someone who really thought that their commitment to Jesus rested upon their shoulders? They have no assurance, do they? Because their commitment is as weak as a spider's web strand. You know, people are going to face hard things in their lives, and we all have many things that could unravel today. And when we're shook to the core, when we're tested as to what we really believe, when we feel the effects of what sin does to us, if you're not grounded in the truth, what happens when big things happen? Well, you're setting yourself up for a real fall. And the remedy to this is to understand sovereign grace, to understand the gospel. Because most Christians today are very confident in themselves. This is our problem, isn't it? We've seen it with the disciples. You're going to deny me when the rooster, right? When the rooster crows, hold on, Lord, says Peter. No, I won't. I'll never deny you. Even if everyone else does, I won't. That is the Arminian. That is the Christian today. That is in all of us. And we see it today play out in how Christianity's treated, you know? It's just like a product. It's just like anything else on the market. Most Christians believe this Christianity thing was their choice, that they have, in turn, pre-designed Christianity on their terms. Hey, they made this decision for Jesus on such and such a date, at such and such a time, of their own free will. And what in turn happens because of that is that they cling to a dangerous self-confidence that is only as strong as their circumstances. For many, following Jesus is only as strong as their circumstances. If they're good, they're up. If things are bad, they're down. And they're not really committed to too much of anything but themselves. How great is the fall when you have no perspective of the sovereignty of God? Now, here's the thing. I guess I shouldn't be too hard on people because this is all our problem. It was the disciples' problem. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. You see, they have been up because Jesus has just spoke comforting words to them, but they're about to fall hard. Jesus sees it all. Jesus knows what they're going to experience. He knows the hardship, the trial, the pain, that feeling they abandoned the Lord in the greatest moment when he asked them to pray. We have no idea of what it means through much tribulation we enter the kingdom until we go through that tribulation. What a discouragement that all can be, right? Now, I want you to think about what Jesus then is saying here. This is why I said yesterday we do theology. This is why we study deeply the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of Scripture. Father, says Jesus, the hour has come. We planned this. I'm doing your will. Glorify me so that I may glorify you. That's a big issue. Why does Jesus have to do all this? Because it's about the glory of his Father. That means a lot to him. Now, what did the Father do? The Father sent him on a mission. The Father gave him people to save. And he's saying, glorify me so that I do what you gave me to do. Listen to verse 2. You have given me authority over all flesh, he says. You have given him, speaking of himself, authority over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. I want to make sure we understand this. Maybe you've never heard the high priestly prayer preached or dealt with, and there may be a reason for that, because all dispersed throughout this is the sovereignty of God, is the teaching of election. Did you hear it? As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So the counsel of God is this: the Father sent Jesus on a mission to save those specifically whom the Father had given to the Son. What a moment in describing the atonement. Let me explain it again. Flesh is speaking of the sinful nature of man. Jesus just said that in his work, his hour, the Father has given him authority over all flesh, over every single human being that's ever lived or existed on the course and the plane of this world and this life. Jesus has been given authority and power over their lives. Jesus said that in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. And then he says this: with that authority, you have charged me to give eternal life to as many as you have given me. Now, do you see what he's doing here? The disciples are about to fall. They're going to fall hard. If they think it's up to them, what a mess they're going to be. If they think it's up to them, how discouraged when they sin, of feeling like I should just give up. You ever felt that, dear listener? You feel like just giving up because it's so bad? And things are so hard and you stumble so hard. You see, this is the way Christianity is presented to you today. And this is, let's just face it, we're products of our current Christian culture. What is the message we hear today? Jesus died for everyone and made salvation possible, right? We hear this universally. Jesus died for you, which means a universalism, right? I mean, that's the logical consequence to that teaching. Jesus died for everyone. But wait a minute, hold on. There's a nuance to that. There's a catch to that. Salvation's only possible, though. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the unbelievable teaching that goes on because of this. Jesus died for everyone, but salvation is only possible. So what he did is he covered everyone with his blood, paid for their sins. Now, let me accent that. Paid in full. But that is only effectual when you go and draw it out. It's very similar. It would be like this. Listen, I'm giving everyone $1,000, right? Hypothetically. I'm giving everyone $1,000. It's all yours. but I'm going to put it over here in a bank, and it's only yours then if you go get it. So the money's there, the blood is there, but you've got to make it cover you. You've got to make it yours. Now, this is what almost every Christian believes today. But have you thought about the consequences? We should always think about the consequences of what we believe. Do you see what that does to people's assurance? That's scary. Because that means that if Jesus died for everyone, what? Not everyone's going to be brought to glory, because it depends upon them making Jesus' blood effectual. Which then means that if it rests upon them, salvation can be lost. So you can have it one day since it rests in your power, but the next day you can lose it. Now, do you think about the implications of that? You think about what the disciples here are faced with. They're going to go and abandon him in a minute. Did they lose it? We've just studied throughout John, no one has the ability to follow him. Jesus, Romans chapter 3 says very clearly, no one seeks after God. No one. Then how do we have the power to seek if no one seeks, right? The disciples are going to learn a very powerful lesson here. If in the hour of the cross, all authority has been specifically given to him by the Father, and that means that all of those specifically given to him by the Father are given eternal life, he did not say in John chapter 17, I am making it possible, O Father, to save them. That's not what he says. He's saying, you have given eternal life to as many as you have given me. That's what Jesus just says in John 17, 2. That is so important for your Christianity, dear listener, and how you go forward. That doesn't make us robots. That doesn't make us just cold determinists. No. This inspires faith. Why? Because even when we fall and when we fail, even when we face life-shattering events that rattle our commitments to Jesus Christ to the core, nothing can take away from the finished work of Jesus Christ that he covenanted with his Father to complete. In other words, very simply, when he said it is finished, it was finished. Aren't you so thankful for the covenant of redemption? Aren't you so thankful, as Peter says? I want to close with 1 Peter 1 today, because Peter was so moved by this. You know how he began his little letter to the churches? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How are you kept? Doesn't say you're kept by your own power. You're kept by the power of God. All of those given by the Father to the Son will be saved. And that gives us great encouragement and strength. If you're a Christian today, you've received grace, and you will be kept by the power of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.